God's plan for our lives, that even after he redeems us, of course, when we're saved and we're born again and our sins are washed away and we're redeemed, but the redemption does not stop there. God continues to redeem us to right relationship with him from before the fall, the effects of sin, the devastation of sin in our life and our family. Everything that sin has taken away from humanity, when someone comes into right standing with God, he begins to redeem every bit of that back. Can I get an amen? Has anybody experienced the redemption, the redeeming power of Jesus Christ? I know I have. I know I have. And I know as I was talking to my friend last night, and we were talking about God peeling back onions, layers and layers of redemption as he begins to do a deeper and deeper work as we walk with him and as we allow ourselves to be transparent to him and allow ourselves to be transformed from glory to glory. Isn't he a good God this morning? If you could, I'm going to be sharing a brief word with you. I know we don't have much time, but I wanted to share something with you out of Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 through 4. Is where I'll start. It's a common portion of scripture, common story, common Bible character. Historically, Joseph. And the Lord has put it on my heart as I see your pastor. He has his iPad, and I'm thinking, wow, he's really high tech. I have a notepad, so we're going to go with that today. Amen. I've been really feeling like I need to step up in technology, but I guess I'm stubborn and stuck in my ways a little bit. Chapter 37 of Genesis, it says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. A tunic is a coat, and that's what they called a coat later on in this chapter. A coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Father, I thank you so much for this time in eternity, this portal of time that you've given us, Father, that we'd be able to come into your holy presence, Lord, that we'd be able to testify of your goodness, that we'd be able to sing songs of adoration and worship unto you. But Lord, as we come today, we open up your word, the bread of life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would come forth today. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare hearts to receive your word as you prepare soil to receive seed, Lord God. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that my thoughts would be organized and my heart would be pure, and that I'd be able to deliver the things that you have shared with me, Lord, clearly. And Father, I thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the sent Holy Spirit that is our comforter and our counselor. And we invite him right here now to have your way, do as you wish. And Father, we love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We look at this portion of scripture in Genesis chapter 37, and it talks about Joseph being the son of Jacob. And we see that Joseph, it says, as scripture testifies, that he was loved by his father because he was the son of his old age. You see, as we look in this whole story that surrounds Joseph, he was the son of Rachel, the brother of Benjamin, the only two children that Rachel would have. And Jacob had multiple wives, the first being Leah, before Rachel, but Rachel was the one that he had chosen. Rachel was the one that he had gone to her father and said, "I would like to have your Rachel, your daughter, and have her hand in marriage." And the father said, "Surely you can. You just need to work 7 years." And Jacob did, and he went to work for 7 years for his father and Rachel's father. And at the point of 7 years, he was given Leah. unless scripture would testify, Leah wasn't quite as attractive physically, and she wasn't the one that Jacob had desired. He had desired the other sister. But yet he was kind of tricked into taking Leah as his wife, and so he did. And he said, but I want Rachel. And the father said, well, work for me another 7 years, and then you can have her. And that was a total of 14 years he worked for this young lady. Well, she was young when he started working. I don't know how young she was by the time he was done working for her. So we have two women here. We have Leah and Rachel. Now, Leah became pregnant with Reuben. And then Leah began to have five other sons. Leah had five children by Jacob. And as scripture will testify, Rachel was without. And what I began thinking about over the last couple of days is the emotional and the mental situation that both of these young ladies were in. Because here you have Leah, who is the wife that really was never wanted, but yet she had children. And then you have Rachel, the woman that was wanted, and she had no children. And in our culture, in our day and age, it's really not such a big deal if someone does not have children. But at that time, their children was their prize. It was everything to them. And being able to be fruitful and multiply and give your husband a son was the greatest honor and the greatest privilege and one of the greatest duties. And when a woman was not able to produce the fruit from her womb, she would feel like she was somewhat useless, or that she did not do everything that the normal woman is supposed to do. So we have two people here that are both dealing with rejection. And I began to think about how rejection seems to take root in so many people's lives. We know that rejection hurts so much, and we know that hurt people, isn't that true? We know that rejection will often cause people to push good things away because they're afraid of loving. But it'll also allow them to bring things that are not good for them into their life because they're grabbing and grabbing and grabbing for something or someone to love them. So we see both of these women were dealing with such situations as rejection. And looking at the son Reuben being the oldest son of Leah, I begin to look at things through his eyes, how he probably saw how his father was rejecting his mother, and how many, many nights when Leah would want Jacob to come spend the night at her house, in her room, in her bed, instead he would go to spend the night with Rachel because he really didn't so much want Leah. And how not only would have that made Leah feel, but how that would have made the children feel. Reuben being old enough to understand what was going on. And we look at scripture, it goes on to tell us that it was Reuben that said, let's throw Joseph into a pit. As the story goes on, it says that Joseph was hated by his brothers because he was loved by his father, and his father gave him this coat. And we know that this coat was a symbol of his father's love and his father's affection and his father's favor. So Jacob's favor was put upon the life of Joseph, just as God's favor has been put upon each one of our lives. And I believe God takes this portion of scripture and he puts emphasis on this coat 5 different times in this chapter. And I believe it's because this coat was something that was given from his father, and it is symbolic of what God often gives us when we come into right relationship with him, when we receive his favor. You know, we often think favor means like a money or financial blessing, and that everything is going to go great in our lives, and oh, they're favored of the Lord, so everything must be wonderful. But if you look at this portion of scripture in this story, although things did turn out for good because of the favor that was put upon Joseph, there were many times and many seasons and many things that were happening in his life that I would call unfavorable. That I would say were unfortunate. In fact, I probably would have got downright mad at God for some of the things that Joseph walked through. But yet the word says that he was favored But as the scripture testifies, 90% of what was happening to him didn't seem favorable. So his father gives him a coat, and the Lord has been stirring on my heart all week about this coat, and I couldn't get the coat off my mind, and I began to ask God, what does this coat simplify? And as I begin to think of a coat, is we know that a coat covers, and a coat separates. And how when we come into right standing and right relationship with God, that God covers us with his blood, and he forgives us for our sins, and he covers us with his love. And we know that scripture clearly says that it is love that covers a multitude of sins. It was God's love for us and for his creation and humanity that said, I will blot out your sins because I love you. And we see that this coat was a covering for Joseph. And it was a symbol of his father's love, as God loves each one of us. It was a symbol of his favor. And the word favor, it means an attitude of liking or approval. It's an act of kindness beyond what is due. And isn't that what God's favor on our life is? Isn't it an attitude of approval? But what's greater about God's favor and God's blessing and God's coat that covers us is that it is a kindness that goes beyond what is due. How many people know that even on our best day, we do not deserve what God has given us? That doesn't mean we think we have low self-esteem and we think that we're trash and that we're no good for anything. That's not what it means. It means apart from God, we could do no good. And it means that we cannot walk right before God without Him covering us with His love and His blood. That we're not capable of it. So that even on your best day, don't get proudful and boastful thinking that it is something you do or something that you have achieved or something that you've accomplished that makes you any more loved in God's eyes. Because God just gave you this coat. And his coat covers you. Another thing about this coat, it said that the coat had many colors. And I know that everything in Scripture is put there for a reason and a purpose. And that God wants us to look in and to pray about everything. When you read that word, when something comes to your spirit and it makes you look at it twice, it's because God wants you to pray and look into what that word means and what He is trying to say through that portion of Scripture, because this word is alive. And we look, it says that the coat had many colors, and I begin to think, God, why did you make this coat with many colors? And the Lord said to me, He said, because my blessing and favor on your life is attractive. And it brings attention. But attention isn't always good. And the Lord said this to me. He said, not everything that's attracted to you, Paul, is good for you. Not every person that is attracted to you is good for you. Sometimes we think as Christians that we're supposed to be open doors and have no boundaries for everybody just to come in our life and take. And that's not what we're to do. Because the coat of many colors that God has covered you in is attractive. But it doesn't mean that everybody that's attracted to you is good for you. That not everything that comes into your life is to be opened and welcomed. Because there are things that are attracted to you that are not good for you. And sometimes they blend and hide. It makes me think of Acts chapter 16 with the women with the spirit of divination. She was following Paul the Apostle, and she was saying, listen to these men, for they speak of the Lord Most High. That doesn't sound like something demonic to me, or doesn't sound like something that's not good. Yet the Bible clearly says that it was from the devil. Because there are things that are attracted to you and following you around that are not good for you. Because you have a coat of many colors. And it creates envy, it creates jealousy and hatred. And we see that this is what happened in the life of Joseph, as Scripture testifies. It says that the brothers saw this coat, and they hated his brother. Because not only was he covered, but he was attractive. Because his coat had many colors. The other thing about this coat that I noticed, and I'm only going to be a few more minutes, I just want to touch on a couple more things here. is that this coat was given to him. It's so easy to walk in our own self-righteousness and believe that we've accomplished such great things in our walk with the Lord. And we forget about grace. And remember, you have not been so good that you don't need grace. And you have not been so bad that grace can't reach you. You have not been so good that you don't need grace, and you've not been so bad that grace can't reach you. The thing of the matter, this coat was given to him. He didn't work for it. He didn't write up a proposal for it. It was freely given to him. And grace and your covering has been given to you, and your blessing in your life has been given to you. It's not something that you could earn. Another thing about this coat that I noticed, that when a coat would be given to you is because you're going to see bad weather. I never even told you the title of my message. This point would make more sense if I did that. The title of my message is Don't Forget Your Coat. It's cold outside. Cold outside. God gave you a coat because it's going to be bad weather. And as I close with this, I look at this, the life of Joseph, and I say that he'd gone through so many struggles. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery, and favor showed himself strong and raised him up to the top. Then he was thrown in jail, and once again, favor showed itself strong and raised him to the top. And we all pray for God's favor and God's blessing, and we wonder where it is because certain things are happening. And God has sent me here today, and I just want to leave you with this, and then I'm going to ask Pastor to come up. Is the fact is that God gives you a coat because it's going to be bad weather. And just because you're going through struggles and things look unfavorable to you does not mean that God's blessing is not with you. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. It doesn't mean that you missed it. It doesn't mean that you have not been good enough. It doesn't mean that you missed. It doesn't mean that your decision making has been so off that you are apart from the will of God. Life happens. Children go astray. Husbands leave. People get sick. Finances struggle. And when you're looking in the middle of those things, it seems like God's blessing is not on your life. But how many points in time could have Joseph looked at his life and said, God, where are you? You gave me this coat. This coat that made me different. This coat that separated me from everybody else. This coat that made me attractive differently from everybody else. But yet, why do I go through these hardships and struggles? It's so easy to see where we are right now. Life is often like one of those coloring books that has the dotted line, the dotted. Do you ever see them kids' things where they have the dots, and before you can know the picture or color the picture, you have to connect the dots? Well, sometimes we're one dot, and God sees the whole picture. So I encourage you, what you're going through today and whatever you see, is not to think that God's blessing has been withheld from you or He wouldn't give you a coat of many colors, because He has. His blessing and His favor has been put apart on your life. And I wish I had more time to dig into all of this. But the last thing I want to say to you is, when they threw him in the pit, the brothers took the coat and they soaked it in blood and they brought it back to the father and they lied to the father. And they said, listen, your son has been killed. Here's his coat. The father always held the coat. So whenever you're struggling, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel alone, know that to have your coat, all you have to do is come back to the Father. And He holds your coat for you. Remember your coat, because it's cold outside. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Lord.
Kim, if you'd we give you praise. We came here for a... Maybe you came